Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
You can follow us on social media as well. Rob is at RobParkerFS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter. ChrisBroussard68 on Instagram. And we are just moments away from the Washington football team hosting Daniel Jones and the New York Giants, both teams in need of a victory, and Danny Jones in need of a good game because New York is getting impatient with him. And Spencer Rattler, who I know is off to a rough start at Oklahoma right now, but he is projected by many to be the top quarterback in this draft. And the thing is, Oklahoma, they've produced Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. So lately, their quarterbacks have done their thing at the next level. So Daniel Jones better start producing or the Giants might start looking toward the future with somebody else. We got Greg Jennings, Super Bowl champion and bodybuilder supreme. That's right. Also a Fox Sports NFL analyst. He will join us at the bottom of the hour.
Greg
and then
Jamie.
Another issue of Inside
Saquon's
the Park.
Playing tonight, huh? He's yep. Activated. Okay. Finally.
He is playing. Well, you know, he played last week, but they kind of partially played him. Didn't do much.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that they had activated him. I thought they were still waiting on him.
Well, he played, but then coming out of that game, he was questionable for tonight, I guess, on the short rest, but still. But, Rob, let's go to the – I mean, my goodness. And I know, you know, people like to make fun of the Dallas Cowboys, and there's so much to make fun of. It's been, what, Rob, 25 years since they've won four playoff games. What is that it in the last 25 years?
That's it.
Haven't won a Super Bowl. I mean, this is a team that was, as everybody knows, because they're still quote unquote America's team, but they actually were good back in the day. When we were growing up, Staubach and Tony Dorsett, Hollywood Henderson, Drew Pearson, Too Tall Jones, all those guys. And now they are basically running on fumes. But I picked them to make the playoffs this year and have a nice season. And they look pretty good in losing to the defending Super Bowl champions, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, on opening night last week. But, Rob, this is the type of thing that makes you wonder, are they snake bitten under Jerry Jones now? Because DeMarcus Lawrence, Rob, their best pass rusher, he broke his foot in practice on Wednesday. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. Their second best pass rusher, Randy Gregory, he is on the COVID protocol, so he's likely to be out as well on Sunday. Not only that, Michael Gallup, their third receiver, was placed on injured reserve with a calf strain that he suffered in the game against Tampa Bay. Right tackle, Lyle Collins was suspended 5 games for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. This came out like a day after the game. And they already were without Zach Martin, their great offensive lineman, in game one because of COVID. Now he'll be back. But, Rob, and add insult to injury, Leon Lett, remember him of Super Bowl infamy. He's one of their coaches now. He injured his knee in practice. I don't know what in the world he was doing.
He had picked up a loose ball and he was running down the field. And not only did his did the ball slip out of his hands, his knee gave out.
His knee fell out. But this, I mean, it just, Rob, if it's not one thing with the Cowboys, it's another. I look, and I'm sticking with them as the pick. I mean, I think that's a bad division. Philly looked much better than everybody expected, but we'll see if that continues. But, you know, they got a light schedule, so I think they still can have a good year. In fact, I'm going to say that, you know, I came on last week. I came on last Friday. And after Dak threw up 400-plus yards in a loss to Tampa Bay, I said, all right, it's been 2 years in the making. I was calling him en route to elite. And I said it last Friday, Rob. Dak Prescott is now elite. I'm convinced. And I'm going to put this on him. If he's now elite, and I'm not the only one that feels that way. You know, I'm not saying he's in the class of Brady and Rodgers and Mahomes and those guys, but he, you know, there's another class of elite below them. That's where he's at. But if he is indeed in that class, Rob, no excuses. I just read off a litany of injuries and COVID misses and all that. I don't care. If you're elite, there are times when you can lift your team. I'm not saying you lift them by yourself to the Super Bowl, but you can lift them to some regular season victories. And Rob, he's got to show it. We've talked about it ad nauseum, that he can beat some winning teams. I know it's week two, but the Chargers are a winning team. They're 1-0. So I'm saying Dak Prescott, they're 0-1, Rob. We talked about the 0-2, what that means. Dak Prescott needs to go out and lift the Cowboys to victory over the Chargers if he's elite.
I think at some point you do have to win those games. You can't always – it's the NFL. People are hurt every week. So you can't just use that as – your crutch, oh, we didn't have this, we didn't have that. There are certain games they have to win. If they lose this week, then you'll start to look and go, well, what's actually happened here? They played well in losing or, you know, a close game, but a game they need, they just it's like they know what's stacked up against them. I know the division is weak. They should win the division. I don't have them making the playoffs. This is a big game for Washington. Because Washington, they have a defense, and I don't know where they're going with the, you know, quarterback who
he looked good, you know, in the playoffs.
Yeah, he played in the playoffs against Tampa Bay, right?
Yep.
And
Taylor
and looked decent. And
Taylor Heineke. Yep.
Yeah, and he looked decent, but the defense is the strength of that team, and the Cowboys. I don't know. I think it's a mixed bag. Mike McCarthy, I'm not game on him. I'm not keen on him. They got to get a more balanced attack. They got to run the football. Dak is putting up numbers, but they don't win. They don't win when he puts up those numbers. And that, if I'm looking at it, I don't know. Are there analytics about it? Is somebody looking to say, because this is what Tony Dungy pointed to when Dak got hurt. So this is not me or some other talking head or just somebody who doesn't know football. This is Tony Dungy who won a Super Bowl. And he said it. It sounded like a slight of Dak when he said it. But he was like, this may be a blessing in disguise. This might be great for the Cowboys from the standpoint that they'll go back to running the football, which is when they were at their best. And I get it. Ezekiel Elliott's not the same guy.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Rob. Do you think he can carry them like he did his first few years?
I don't know, but I think they need to try. Because I would say to you, Dak puts up big numbers and they lose again, and Ezekiel Elliott has 25 yards or he doesn't do anything. At some point, you got to figure out something with the running back, because I don't think they're going to get where they want to get to without running the football effectively.
Well, you need some balance. There's no doubt about it. And Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, Rob, he said they called 12 other plays, running plays, for Ezekiel. and Dak checked out of him. Zeke's his best friend, so I don't think he was doing it, you know. He wasn't doing it to keep it from Zeke, but that's what the defense looked like they were giving him. And he thought that those were, you know, better suited for pass plays. But they do have to get some balance. The interesting thing, Rob, is that Ezekiel Elliott, he statistically, you asked about like the analytics, statistically he gets better. He's best at his best between carries 11 and 20. He's much better at 11 through 20.
How many did he have last game?
Than he is at 1 through 10. He had 11, I believe. He had 11.
He didn't even get warmed up.
11 carries for 33 yards. Exactly. And I think you got to get him at least 15 carries and get that back. And you know what else, Rob? Tony Pollard's not bad. He's not an every down back, but I like Tony Pollard too. So however they do it, if they have to do it running back by committee, I think they can do that. But I do think, Rob, that the days of the running game being their primary focus, like they're not obviously the Ravens, but they're not even the Browns. And I say even. I shouldn't have even thrown that in there because the Browns have a tremendous running game. But that's not who the Cowboys are. I do believe, Rob, Dak is going to have to carry him. He doesn't have to throw for 400 yards. And all that. But I just think that they've transferred from being a running team with a game-managing quarterback who could make some plays here or there, which is what Dak used to be, to now I think he is, when I say elite, that's part of the elite description for me.
Yeah,
you can put the team on your back.
But the only problem is that they haven't won.
He's got to show it. I get it. But that doesn't mean they won't win. You know, so I think he can win putting up those numbers. The numbers against Tampa Bay were not stat Padford numbers, you know, to use your phrase. They weren't in a blowout when they're desperate and the defense is in a soft prevent and all that. They were legitimate numbers. I mean, they moved the football up and down the field on Tampa Bay. So I do think he can do that. They'll need some help from the running game, but I do think Dak can do it by himself. And he's just got to go out and prove it, Rob.
Yeah, well, it starts this week, and they got to start winning some games. It's just you can't keep filling the stat sheet but not winning games, and that's where the Cowboys are. And I know they've had injuries and all kinds of stuff. New coach, the defense was horrible last year. And sometimes he had no choice but to throw it. You can't be down 21 points and run the football. So I get that. But they need to start the games with a little more balance and try to get Ezekiel. You just said it. He's better between 11 and 20 carries. So he only got 11. You need more. You got to see if this guy has anything left.
And that was Tampa Bay's a great run defense, arguably best in the league. So, you know, you would expect him to get more shots and have more success against the Chargers. But we'll see. That's a game you got to be watching out for this weekend. All right, it is the Odd Couple. Chris and Rob, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in. How much pressure is on Dak Prescott to keep the Cowboys afloat while they deal with all of these injuries? And you saw it. It was a litany, folks. How much pressure is on Dak? Your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, on a TV theme song Thursday. These, of course, the sounds of the classic Seinfeld. And if you're dealing with the dead battery, head on over to AutoZone. It's America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services, things like free battery testing, awesome, and free battery charging, even more awesome. So next time you're having battery trouble, head on over to AutoZone, and they're on just about every corner, too, so you can't miss it. It's your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. 877-99 on Fox. All right, Rob. We threw it out to the callers. Can Dak Prescott carry the Cowboys to victories through all these injuries?
All right, let's kick it off and start with Joe in Texas. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What up, Joe?
Hey, nice to be on. Nice for you to have me on.
Thank you, bud. We appreciate you.
I think he can carry the team, and I think he can do his part. The only problem he might have is he can't line up at linebacker or defensive end to do the job of the defense. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's true. We get that. But here's the thing.
But last year,
they didn't score many points early. And I get it. The defense gave up a lot of points. But they were behind also in part because the offense didn't produce early. And then they produced in the second half. So you're right about the defense. And look, if he gets beat in shootouts because the defense is giving up 35 points a game, then that's one thing. But he can't be playing from behind all the time and getting all these yards.
Right, because even if the defense gives up a touchdown, that doesn't mean you can't score.
Right.
So that's the other part. All right, let's go to his name is Utah from California. I never heard anyone named Utah. But welcome to
Utah?
The Odd Couple.
Wow.
Yep, Fox Sports Radio. What's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Long-time caller, first-time listener, because only I've been trying to get through you guys for so long, and this might be the first time I heard myself on the radio.
Glad you got in, brother. Keep
thanks,
calling.
Utah. We appreciate you. Hey, why were you named Utah? We need to know quickly.
They couldn't find a name. I was born in Utah, so the doctor said, well, we'll just name him Utah, because they couldn't figure out a name when I was born.
The doctors named you?
Yeah, the doctor named me because my parents didn't know what to name me. So, because they didn't think I was going to be born yet. So,
right. So they weren't ready for
it. I got to be honest.
Last minute, they're like, well, we need a name. So,
I like that.
Just name him Utah.
Yeah, Utah.
But we live in California now, so that's why. So, thank you.
No, that's cool.
All right.
Yeah, matter at hand, my thing is, I just feel the pressure is more on Jerry Jones because he caved and he put in all that money toward him. Because he has a big ego, so his thing is he just need to get rid of the GM title and just play owner. So that way, I think because Dak Prescott, you know, he's trying to compete. I mean, he's trying to please two guys, Jerry Jones and the GM, which is realized both. And I don't think Dak Prescott, even though he's playing for a GM and the Jerry Jones, are the two same person. So,
well, Utah, you're right, but here's one reason why Jerry Jones isn't under any pressure. He's the owner.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why. I mean, I hear you. He shouldn't be the GM and all. You know,
and he's already in the Hall of Fame despite how poorly he's run the Cowboys. And I'll give him credit when they won 3 out of 4 with Jimmy Johnson and whatnot. Jimmy Johnson's teams, they were a dynasty. And Jerry made bold moves, Chris, when they fired Tom Landry and changed the whole
really
culture.
Bold. That was downright cold.
Right. It was earth-shaking.
Cold and bold, yeah.
Oh, it was big time.
What would that be like? That'd be like somebody coming in. I mean, it's not Belichick.
Thanks for the call, Utah.
Firing
appreciate
like.
It. Yeah, but it would have to be like somebody really.
Yeah. Somebody who's won.
What about Pop? Firing Pop and
San
doing
Antonio?
Something? Yeah, GW in Cincinnati. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I appreciate you taking my call.
What up, brother?
Nothing much, man. Just hanging out. Hey, guys, let me say that. First of all, that's the first Utah I've ever heard of. I've heard of women named Georgia, but I've never heard of a guy named Utah. I've heard of Colorado before, but not a Utah.
Really?
So.
I haven't heard many states.
Yeah.
Georgia's a common one. Florida. Yeah, Florida Evans from Good Times.
Right.
Do you ever meet a real-life Florida?
I
never met a real-life.
Hey, but let me say this. Rob, you talk about Tony Dungy, and I remember the quotes, but there's no slight on Dak Prescott. It's not like he was saying that Dak Prescott shouldn't throw the ball and put up points. And, Chris, to make your point, you know, last year was last year. The problem that we had last Monday night, it wasn't because the offense got off to a slow start. It was because
was
the defense couldn't stop anybody. Yep. And that's still the problem. And I think you mentioned.
But it's not just that. His record.
I thought their defense was better.
But GW, you're missing the point. No, it's not about one game. If you look at it, Rob G, I don't know where the numbers are we had. But when he throws for a certain amount of yards and whatnot, they have a they're 4-10. Like, they don't win. And that's what the conversation is about. Not about how he played in this one game. They're 4-10 when he throws for over 350 yards or whatever it is. They don't win at a good clip. That's the conversation.
I think a lot of that was because in the past, and we'll see if it happens this year too, but those big number games, Rob, came in, you know, when they were down. We'll see if that's
but
the case.
But it's 14 games, right? 4-10.
Yeah, I mean,
so it ain't,
you know,
3 or 4 games, is what I'm saying.
But he's a young quarterback who's still improving. That's the thing. It's not like he's an old guy who is what he is. So
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon, I'm Dan Beyer, and we have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are the iCouple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Hit it. And if you're wondering why we play the sultry sounds of Diana Ross, the boss, it's because he's a lean, mean, bodybuilding machine. He don't eat food no more. He just works out.
I don't know what he's eating, but it's just unbelievable. I don't know. What do your kids say when they see you? I mean,
you look like Verb or something from, you remember the cartoon,
right?
Verb? Greg Jennings. What's up, man?
What's happening, man? Look, I eat food.
Yeah, what kind of food? What do you
eat? I don't know. You call it food.
For dinner last night, he had 4 cashew nuts and some water.
Absolutely not. My last meal was 7 ounces of steak and about 150 grams of Brussels sprouts.
That's it?
My next meal is about to be 6 ounces of chicken with a small little mixed salad with tomatoes, kale, arugula, cucumbers. Yeah, man, I'm eating.
Okay.
All right. You going to wash it down with some molten chocolate cake?
I'm going to wash it down with a nice 32-ounce glass of water. Actually, a Gatorade bottle.
Hey,
let me ask you this, though, Greg.
Right now, Chris, if he ate a piece of chocolate cake, he would gain 40 pounds. Right. Like, that's where he's at, right?
Nah, my metabolism, it would literally just burn it.
Let me ask real talk. If you ate like this during your career, do you think it would have made a difference?
I definitely think it would have made a difference. Energy level, being able to sustain and have that level of endurance, with knowing what's going into your body versus every single day you're switching it up and you're peaking high. One day you're high, next day you're low because of all the sweets and the different caloric intake. It would made a difference that way. As far as performance, I mean, it is what it is. I was a baller. I was just
That's right.
There
you were a baller, no doubt about that.
Hey, let's start here. The Giants and Washington, they're playing. Daniel Jones, what do you make of him?
He just ran for a touchdown, Rob. He's looking good on the first drive.
Did he fumble?
He did. There go that play-by-play.
I was wondering. Was
no play-by-play during the game. But Daniel Jones, just where he is, if you're the Giants, are you concerned? Are you not? Is he – the fumbles, Greg, 30 fumbles, 18 lost in his first 28 games. What is that about?
Yeah, well, that definitely is something you concern yourself with when we're talking about the fumbles, because at the quarterback position, you got to protect the football. Like, if we can't rely on you to protect the football, and I'm not even talking about throwing interceptions, you're the one that has the ball in your hand on every offensive snap. And so we got to be able to trust that you're going to do good by us, meaning protect the football. But Daniel Jones, he's shown flashes, and he's so young. I think the league is it's changed because of all the rules and the expectations we have, because we've seen young players at the quarterback position come in and have immediate success, like the Joe Burrows and guys like that. Like, and so our expectations become based on the few that actually live up to all the extra hype and expectations set. And Daniel Jones, he's had some great games, and he's obviously had some poor games. He just had a great drive. They moved the pocket. He used his feet. He threw the ball. He had a time where he should have thrown the ball, let it go, a young mental mistake. But you're going to have that when you're talking about a guy who's in year three. You hope that he grows out of it. But the fumbles, the turnovers, you can't live with that. You can't win with that.
Let's go, Greg, to a veteran who had a bad week one, and one of your former teammates. You guys won a Super Bowl together, Aaron Rodgers. Do you know him? Do you think – I've heard all manner – everybody's got a view of what happened. I've heard some guys say just one game, just a bad game, nothing to worry about. And others have said – it is more a sign that he's not all in. That when you look at what happened in the offseason, you know, he's just not all there. Where are you at on what happened in week one and moving forward?
Well, I'll start here. He's definitely in it to win it. Now, as far as how far in it, he's not as far in, because based on what he showed us this offseason – it was him being removed from the team, and him not going through the offseason program. All those things that he typically does, he didn't do. So there is something there, period. There is something to be said when a guy doesn't do that and then he performs like that. What I will say is this. It's no different than a guy getting paid, what happened to Aaron Rodgers. And this is why, guys, this is why I never was one to really speak out and to put my quarterback on blast, or a teammate for that matter, because the expectations you have now of yourself are set higher. And it's because of you, because of what you have done, or because of what you chose not to do. And so that's what we're seeing. Aaron Rodgers chose not to show up this offseason. He chose to make it about whatever it was about. And with that being the case, you can't afford to come and play like that, because right. Everybody's now going to directly relate it to, oh, he wasn't there. He's not all the way in. That can very well be the case, but it can very well not be. But what can't happen is you give us that ability to kind of perceive it that way based on your performance, because it says, yeah, I should have had more time, or I wasn't as prepared, or whatever the case may be. But I think he's going to be fine. I think the Packers are going to be fine. It was not a good showing. I think it was a poor showing, not only by Aaron Rodgers, but by that defense.
Right.
Their inability to be prepared for Jameis Winston and what that offense was going to look like.
How about Tua? Did he win over some people in Miami? I know it's only week one, but, you know, they've been so down they didn't vote him a captain. They talked about drafting another quarterback. There was even talk about trading Deshaun Watson to Miami, and that the Texans didn't want Tua in the trade. I'm just trying to figure out where's Tua at this point?
Well, I think Tua has a lot more maturing to do. He's gaining experience. The more playing time he gets, the more starts he gets underneath his belt. They've obviously put the weapons around him. So when you see organizations surround quarterbacks with what they need, they're eliminating all the excuses. Now it's on you. It's on you to make it work. And with Tua, it is on him. We've seen what you look like when you had a bunch of weapons at Alabama. We've seen what it looked like when you were able to run the type of offense that made you comfortable. That's what they're doing now in Miami. it's basically going to be on Tua. It's a make or break. Anytime you see them surrounding an individual with talent, we saw it with Dak Prescott, and we said, up all the talent around Dak, they're making Dak better. Well, now we see it wasn't just that they were making Dak better, he was making everybody around him better as well.
All right, that's our man Greg Jennings. We appreciate the knowledge as always, brother.
I appreciate you guys.
Enjoy that kale, was it?
Kale salad or whatever?
Yeah.
Arugula. Yeah.
Arugula.
Sounds tasty.
A little mac nut oil.
I had
sounds
a little
delicious.
A little arugula on my scalp. I went to the dermatologist. I'm good now.
All right, Greg. Thanks, brother. See you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. We got a sneak peek of this week's Inside the Parker podcast coming up. Keep it locked. A couple Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it is the Odd Couple on a TV theme song Thursday. Where in the world are you going to hear this but the Odd Couple? That's what makes us unique, baby. All right, we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And as we do every Thursday, we are going to give you a preview of the Inside the Parker podcast. And guess what? I never miss Inside the Parker. Here it is.
Whatever.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast a friend of mine, Cousin Sal from, of course, Fox Bet, his Extra Points Podcast Network, and yes, the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Cousin Sal, welcome to the podcast. How you doing, bud?
Thanks for having me on, Rob. I was like, you know, this finally paid off, this documentary stuff. I got on your podcast. I was like, what do I have to do? Let me make a documentary about the 86 Mets and see if that does it. And you gave me a few minutes. This is terrific.
Hey, you should get on because you and Jimmy were both executive producers of this, and it's called Once Upon a Time in Queens. It's on ESPN, ESPN Plus, a four-part chronicle of that 1986 miracle season. And Cousin Sal, start to hear your fandom with the Mets, and how did you become a Mets fan?
I grew up like yourself. I grew up in New York. My father was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, and then when they left, so he hated the Yankees because the Yankees beat the crap out of them every year except 55, right? So he hated them until when the Dodgers moved to L.A., he wasn't about to move for the Yankees. So obviously the Mets came in 1962. That was Casey Stengel's team, and they were lovable losers. Somehow won the World Series 7 years later. But so I had no choice. I was going to be a Mets fan no matter what. And I caught some lean years when I started off watching them as a 6- and 7-year-old. It was in the early 70s. But by the time I got to, I was in high school, 15 years old, greatest experience of my life, watching Mookie Wilson hit the ball through Buckner's legs. They win that. They win Game 7 and world champs in a dramatic fashion. And what a collection of loons it was. I've been telling people, I said, you know, they only won 108 games in the regular season. They really should have won every game. If you look at the talent, Carter, Hernandez, right? You got Gooden, you got Strawberry, Ray Knight, so many, so on and so forth. And then on the other hand, you look at him and Dykstra and all these guys, you're like, how did they even ever get to the ballpark once, let alone win any game? So there's that dichotomy, and we try to cover it. And we did so, I think, in episodes 1 and 2 last night, and then you can catch 3 and 4, where it really gets down to the nitty-gritty tonight.
And let me say this. That 86 Mets team, and that team was a fun team, and you know this growing up in New York, it's hard to take the back page from the Yankees, you know, like the back page of the tabloids. But this Mets team in New York during that time, they ran the city. I mean, am I right? It was a Mets heavy back page. That team was more interesting, had more stuff happen, brawls. You know, like they were just renegades. They were out there, but they won. It was – I remember that season watching almost every pitch. I don't remember missing a game that year.
Well, Gooden – obviously Gooden's great year was 85, right? I mean, 86 was no slouch either, but he was untouchable
in 85. And you just had these guys. And Strawberry, I don't know, who has a better swing? Ken Griffey? Like, when he came up, that was such a huge moment, right? He's coming through the minor leaguers. I remember hearing he pitch, too. I remember hearing as a kid, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be great. But so those, you know, those were the up-and-comers. That was the one. And then to get Keith Hernandez and Gary Carter, like, just to add these pieces, it was terrific. And, like, in documentary, like, I know every great team you could show hours and hours of highlights, right? But I wanted to make something for the baseball fan and the non-baseball fan. So between the highlights, there's all, like you said, there's the drugs, there's the, you know, sleeping with women after games, sleeping with women during the games, right, as the case may be. Daryl Strawberry talked about yesterday, if you saw it. And then, you know, it's like fighting. They fought other teams. They fought people in bars on the road. They fought each other. And so there's just a little something for everyone. I don't know how they would have held up in today's social media heavy, having a presence on social media. I mean, it's just spectacular to look at. And when I say we put it together, Nick Davis is responsible for 99.5% of it. He put it all together. He also did the Ted Williams documentary, and he's the man. So, yeah, Jimmy and I, our names are attached, and we're glad to help facilitate it and see it through. But he's the guy that got it all done.
There you go. It's Once Upon a Time in Queens. You could get it on demand if you haven't seen it. Fantastic stuff. The players are honest. And, of course, you could always check out our podcast, which drops every Thursday, Inside the Parker. Please listen, rate, share, and subscribe. It is one of the fun podcasts out here when you talk about baseball. So make sure you help us out. All right, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, final hour. Stick
and stay.